came in. And it's where we can come in and we can let our guard down and get in the presence of God however we choose to. If we want to lay on the floor or get on our knees or stand with our arms up, or it doesn't matter. You're free to worship the Lord here any way that your heart desires for you to. And when I'm talking about, when we the whole purpose of this is to experience the presence of God. And Duane and I had this conversation today because experiencing the presence of God is different for everybody. You know, some people may feel the presence of God, but we know we can't rely on feelings because we don't always feel his presence. Sometimes we hear a voice. Sometimes we hear nothing. But let me assure you that the presence of God is in this place. And whether you know it consciously or not, he is here and he is working in your life. Simply because you walk through the doors, that's your step of faith to say, I'm going to be in church on Wednesday nights. And when you walk through the door, that's faith. And you know that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So guess how pleasing you are to God tonight because you walk through the doors. So whether or not you heard something from him audibly, he is working in your life. Have that confidence. Have that confidence that whether or not you heard something, that no matter if you experience something, because, you know, sometimes people say, oh my gosh, the presence of God was so thick and so heavy. And then my husband's like, it was? I didn't feel anything. Does that mean that I didn't experience the presence of God? I'm like, no, because God speaks to you. God speaks to him when he sits in the quiet. He doesn't feel anything, but God speaks to him. And you all know that when you've heard him minister. I mean, it doesn't matter. God speaks to you in the shower. God speaks to you on the road. God speaks to you on your walk. He speaks to you when you're sleeping. He speaks to you when you're awake. Our purpose for Wednesday night is to help equip you to experience the presence of God so that you can then be a conduit to someone else to help them experience the presence of God. That is the purpose of this. It's not so we can come in and get feeling good and have goosebumps and be relieved. It's so that we can take that and, yes, praise God. We get set free here. Every single one of those songs that we sang tonight, I can rejoice in and know that those things that are happening in my life. But am I completely free? No. Am I completely restored? No. When I come on Wednesday night, it's like coming to heaven for me. And sometimes I come and I hear the Lord speaking to me. I hear him giving me instruction, or I hear him rebuking me, or I hear him doing different things and saying, you know, giving me a little shake, you know, like taking you by the shoulders like a daddy was like, oh, you know, please just do this, right? And then sometimes it's nothing. But I know that I'm connected with him in my spirit and he is working in our lives to will and to do his good pleasure. We have the promise of the word that he is. So whether or not you feel goosebumps or you feel like there's oil flowing down you, or whether you feel his arms around you or nothing, have the confidence to know that he is working in your life. And you can take this and go anywhere with it. You just don't have to wait till Wednesday night and say, oh my God, Mandy, I can't wait for you to, you've got to come to church with me on Wednesday night. No, what we want to do is equip you to take what you learn here and be sitting with somebody in the coffee shop and grab their hands and have the confidence to know that you guys are going to enter into the presence of God at that table. That's what has to happen. That's what Jesus did. He took 12 people. And he says, okay, I'm taking you raunchy guys who are out there in the world, who are dirty fishermen and who are tax collectors and who knows what they were, right? They were just common, everyday guys, right? Nothing really special. And that's what he does. He says, I'm going to take you. I'm going to take the common and I'm going to make you supernatural. And I'm going to use you to go and impact the world. And that's what God wants to do with us. So by the end of 2014, we want to see every single person in this church doing this, to where you have confidence to pray with somebody at Fiddlesticks or at the cafe or wherever it is. And so I would think that maybe most of you here are okay with that and that you would be comfortable praying with somebody in public. But if you're not, our goal is that by the end of 2014, you're going to have an empowerment that you know that when you connect hands with somebody to pray for them, that God hears your prayers and you can be confident and courageous to pray. I mean, I was at a place where I couldn't do that. Pray with you in public? Are you kidding me? I might be able to go out to the car and maybe whisper a little Jesus prayer, you know, but to actually pray with somebody in public, that has been my goal. For 2013, my goal was to break out of intimidation and just being cowardly and worrying about what people think and just stepping out and asking somebody, like when you check out, I just love asking little cashiers, are you having a good day today? And sometimes they'll be honest with you and say, no, I'm really having a bad day. And I'll just say, can I pray for you? And they're like, right now? I'm like, well, I can pray for you right now. I can pray for you when I get to the car. I mean, I know you're kind of busy and whatever, but I can just say a quick prayer for you right now. How many of you know that Jesus, the longest prayer Jesus prayed was in John 17 when he prayed for everything? Every other prayer Jesus prayed was a one or two liner. Why do we think that we have to have all these words to pray? Why do you think that you have to be wordy to be a good prayer? All it takes is faith and believing that whatever God did for you, he's going to do it for somebody else. And you grab their hand and say, Jesus did it for me. I know he'll do it for you. And you pray. That's what we want to happen here. We want to create disciples and then have you go out and create disciples. And those 12 create, you know what I'm saying? It's that multiplication that's supposed to happen. So if you don't, how many of you in here, well, I know this is kind of ridiculous, but how many of you in here do not have any problem praying for anybody, anywhere? It doesn't matter to you. Raise your hand. Actually, stand up. Just stand up. And this is not an embarrassing thing. I want you to know, you do not have a problem praying with anybody and anywhere. Like if somebody sits beside you at the airport and they're having issues and they're telling you all about them, and before you leave, you're like, we're going to pray about this. You do not have a problem praying with that person. You will pray with them. If they're a perfect stranger, you'll pray with them in Fiddlesticks. You'll pray with them in the cafe. Okay, I love that. So those of you who do not feel comfortable, wait, stand up. Look around. Okay, so this is what I want to do. If you're not there yet, if that's just not your confidence level yet, look around and see the people that are here. And when you're here on Wednesday night and pastor or somebody says, go find somebody to pray with, go and find one of these people that's standing up and go and pray with them. And just listen to them and just say, oh, wow, I can do that. It's a no-brainer. It really is. It's just taking the confidence to step out and say, okay, CWI, I'm going to have to pray with you right now. So is it okay? Is it okay if I pray with you, right? Okay, you can sit down. But I'm saying it's not, I don't want you to be embarrassed by it. I'm just saying we want every single person in here to have the confidence that when you walk out those doors, that no matter what comes to you, it's not about you. It is not about you. It is about Jesus and about what Jesus did. And that's all you have to say. I mean, that your testimony is so powerful. And if Jesus did even one thing for you, he's going to do it for somebody else. He promises no respecter of persons. He says, if I'm going to do it for you, I know he'll do it for you. And so that's all you want to come into agreement with. I mean, this was something that I just had to overcome. I was bad. I couldn't even pray with anybody. So reading your Bible through, how many of you have taken up the challenge to read at least the New Testament through this year? Yay. How many of you already are doing it? I'm sure everybody's hands are going up. Yes, I figured you guys were doing that. Just get in the Word and just know that the simplest prayer, even leading somebody to Jesus, it's so simple. You can scour the Bible and there is no sinner's prayer in here, y'all. There is not a sinner's prayer in the Bible. It just says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. It's that simple. You don't have to have this pat little, hold on a second, let me get my sinner's prayer and go to the back of my Bible where I stuck it on a sticker that somebody gave me 30 years ago. Here it is. Pray this with me. It's much more effective when you pray from your heart with somebody because God is looking at your heart. He's looking at the faith of believing that what Jesus did, that you believe that he did that. Amen? Okay, the one scripture that I caught, I just felt like I was going to put my exhorting hat on today. Pastor called me, or he texted me last night and asked me if I could preach. And I was like, okay, yes, I will. I'm going to say yes. But that's one of the things I know for certain, that when we come here is the two things I know is the confidence to know that no matter whether you feel God's presence or not, he is with you. He is working in you. He is a surgeon. He does things, sometimes laser surgery. If you've ever had laser surgery out here, you don't even know it. You don't feel it. It happens, but you don't know it until much later on. And sometimes that's how God works. You know, he'll take the laser and go to the onion peel and start peeling off, and you don't even know what's happened until something happens, an occurrence, and you're like, oh my God, I didn't react the way I used to. Hooray! I didn't react that way. Jesus made a change on the inside of me because I couldn't change myself. One of the scriptures that that keeps coming back to me is, because we kind of skip over it, and I was talking to my mom about it. Was it just today, right? 1 Corinthians 14:1. I'm sure she's going to blow it up there on the screen. When you look at the book of Corinthians and who it's about and everything, it's there's a lot in there. But 1 Corinthians 12 through 14 is really dealing about spiritual gifts. And it's dealing with, and then right there in the middle in 1 Corinthians 13, right, it talks about love. And without love, you are all that, you know, you guys know that. But, okay, 1 Corinthians 14:1. That's 13. So anyway, the whole thing, so it says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But we always just run across, pursue love. It's like it's almost a little, and then desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. But that pursuing love, because he's just talked about love and that love never fails and that love is really the root of how everything's going to be manifest from God in your life. It's by pursuing love. And so I was thinking about it this last week about when you're pursuing something, that means it's in front of you. And the King James says, follow love. And so I was talking to Mom about that today. I was like, okay, if love's out in front of you and you're pursuing it, that means you're going after it. You're going after love. And so she used an example today of a person in her life that she is intent on loving despite them. Despite themselves. Have you ever had anybody like that in your life where you're intent on loving them in spite of themselves? Like they really don't even want your love. And anytime you approach them, they're not loving back. But that was a perfect example of what pursue love means. Pursue love. Regardless of what you're getting back, pursue love and then desire spiritual gifts. Because how many of you know that you need those spiritual gifts when you're pursuing somebody that doesn't want your love? Right? Sometimes you need a word of knowledge for somebody or a word of wisdom about a situation so that you can love effectively. Okay, 2 Corinthians 2. And I'm going to read it in a little different translation because you guys know this and you've heard it a million times. So I'm going to read it in a little different translation in the Message Bible because simply because it sounds just a little bit different. So when your ears hear it, you can't just, because a lot of times when we've been in church for so long, we hear a scripture and it's like, it's, you know, the scripture that you put on the mirror that you want to memorize and it's been there for 3 months and you don't see it anymore. That's kind of what happens when we read something in the same translation over and over. You read it and then it's like, oh, yeah, heard that, remember that. Okay. 1 Corinthians 2, I'm going to read 9 through 16, I think, here. Just talking about experiencing the presence of God. Okay, let's see. 9. It says, on the contrary, as the scripture says, what eye has not seen and ear has not heard and has not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for... Oh, sorry, that's amplified. My apologies. I've been all over the place today with this. Okay, hold on. Where are you with you, Liz? You got... Is that Message? No? Okay, good. So you guys recognize this? Eye has not seen nor ear has heard nor entered into the heart, right? Everyone's heard that? Okay. Let me read it to you in the Message Bible. Okay, it says, we, of course, have plenty of wisdom to pass on to you once you get your feet on firm spiritual ground, but it's not popular. Oh, this is verse 6. It's not popular wisdom, the fashionable wisdom of high-priced experts that will be out of date in a year or so. God's wisdom is something mysterious that goes deep into the interior of his purposes. You don't find it lying around on the surface. It's not the latest message, but more like the oldest. what God determined as the way to bring out his best in us long before we ever arrived on the scene, the experts of our day haven't a clue about what this eternal plan is. If they had, they wouldn't have killed the master of the God-designed life on Christ. That's why we have this scripture. So this is where it is. No one's ever seen or heard anything like this. Never so much as imagined anything quite like it. What God has arranged for those who love him. But you've seen and heard it because God, by his Spirit, has brought it all out into the open before you. The Spirit, not content to flit around on the surface, dives into the depths of God and brings out what God planned all along. Whoever knows what you're thinking and planning except you yourself? The same with God, except that he not only knows what he's thinking, but he lets us in on it. God offers a full report on the gifts of life and salvation that he is giving us. We don't have to rely on the world's guesses and their opinions. We didn't learn this by reading books or going to school. We learned it from God, who taught us person to person through Jesus, and we're passing it on to you in the same firsthand, personal way. See, the unspiritual self, just as it is by nature, can't receive the gifts of God's Spirit. There's no capacity for them. They seem like so much silliness. Spirit can be known only by Spirit. God's Spirit and our Spirit in open communion. Spiritually alive, we have access to everything God's Spirit is doing and can't be judged by unspiritual critics. Isaiah's question, is there anyone around who knows God's Spirit? Anyone who knows what he's doing? Has been answered. Christ knows, and we have Christ's Spirit. So, the whole purpose of what God did when Jesus came was to set aside us living by the law and living by rules and regulations and living by his Spirit so that we're not guided and directed by a set of laws, but by the spiritual law that lives on the inside of us. So it's a much more intimate setting, whereas they had this book of laws that said, this is what you shall do, this is what you shall not do, this is what you shall do, this is what you shall not do. And if you do this, you get this, and if you don't, you do this. But Jesus is saying, okay, I'm done away with that. With everybody who comes to me, we're going to have an intimate relationship, and every day I'm going to tell you what I want you to do and what I don't want you to do. It's going to be that intimacy. And that's what he's longing for all of us to have. And most of us don't have it because it's foreign. It's like, wow, he really wants to be that intimate with us. And that's what happened with the children of Israel, is that they didn't want that intimacy with God because they were afraid of him. Maybe they were afraid of what he might say, or they were afraid of what he might do to them. But now, because of Jesus, we don't have to have a fear about God. We know that he has our best interest at heart, and that he has designed us in our mother's womb to do something for him, to accomplish something for him in this kingdom. Every single person, and it's what Robert's going to be talking about this year, is vital and necessary to the body of Christ. Every single person. And that's what we need help conveying. Robert and Laura can't do it by themselves. It's impossible. We have to work together to convince and have the conviction of the Holy Spirit to help people understand that they may feel like they're not. And it's our job to reveal to them by the Spirit. That's why we need spiritual gifts, so that we can reveal by the Spirit how to help people understand. Don't you get it? Without you, God's body is not, it's not perfect. It's not complete. It's not complete. It's lacking when you're not filling your place. It's kind of like an army. If you have an army and there's so many guys in a... I know I've messed this up, you guys, but, you know, I know you have... let's just say they're all marching together and you have guys who aren't there or they're out of place. It's messed up. Everybody has a job. No matter what your rank is, everybody is given a job and there's a purpose behind it. And that's what we're like. We're God's army, and God has a purpose and a plan for each one of us that if we're out of it, it's like having a broken toe or a broken arm, or It's incomplete. And he wants us to have the confidence that we do have the mind of Christ. We do know his mind, that we can get connected with him. And it's not hard. And that's what we want. That's what we want to on Wednesday nights, is really help us to learn how to hear the voice of God and to know his mind. And it's not goosebumps and shakes. That may come with it, but it might not. And it's okay, because when you have the Spirit living on the inside of you, he's going to speak to you here. You know, back in the Old Testament, the garden was, man was placed in the garden. Now the garden's placed in us. And the rivers were there to do the whole earth. But now the rivers are in us. And God's calling for that river to come forth out of us so it can pour out on other people. And so that's my prayer, is that I know that you guys are already committed to coming and being here on Wednesday night. You know, no matter who's here, no matter what's happening, because that's your heart, is to do that. But to take it another step further and say, hey, if you really want to experience the presence of God, you need to come on Wednesday nights, because that's where we're going to experience it. And then we're going to have, then we should have people who have experienced it, and to go grab those ones who haven't and teach them how to experience the presence of God. You know, it's not hard. He hasn't made it difficult. It's really simple. So tonight, what I want to do is I want to invite you. If Lord, do you want to put on some music, or do you want to play? I just really want to invite you to get with somebody or get with a little group of people, and just, instead of bringing up, okay, this is what we usually do. I need you to pray for, Chad and Michael, and I need you to pray for the situation and blah, 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 right? What I want to invite you to do tonight is to get together and ask the Lord, Lord, what's on your heart tonight? What is it that you want us to pray for tonight? And just wait, and he will tell you. I haven't ever done that one single time where something hasn't come to me that was like, oh, wow. And then he even will inspire you about what to pray about. That's what's really cool. I will tell you one story really quick just to give you an idea. I was with some friends. We got together to pray, and our intention was just to, we had someone new there that hadn't really ever prayed with us before, so we were just really just going to practice the presence for her so she could kind of, just experience it, have an experience. So we were praying and holding hands, and that's what we did. Lord, we want to be where you are. We just want to dwell in your presence right now, and we want to feast at your table. And so whatever's going on with you, we want to be right in the middle of it. And so we just praised him and thanked him and loved him and just said, love you, Jesus, and just thank you for being here, because you promised that where two or three are gathered together, you're right here in our midst, and we know you're right here with us, and we just want to hear what's going on with you. What's going on in heaven right now? Because we want to bring that down here into earth. What's going on? So we just started praying about different things, and different things would come up and whatever. And then all of a sudden, I could see, he showed me our hands coming together and building this altar. And our hands became like stones, and we were building this altar to God. And on our hands were the faces of all of our sons. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is so awesome. So I was trying to tell him what the Lord was showing me. And I said, okay, so now just speak out the names of anybody that comes to your mind. Let's just lift them up to the Lord. And so now God is giving us something like a visual. So every time we worry about one of those things, we know we built an altar of remembrance to you, God. We know you're dealing with that. We know that you're working in that situation. So I don't have to worry about it anymore. I can keep my hands off of that and know that you showed me there's the altar of remembrance when we lifted it up to you, and I can leave it alone and walk away from it knowing that you're working in the situation. And every time the devil wants to bring it up to me, it's like, what about this? What about this? What about this? Like, God's dealing with that, and that. Amen? So that's just one little thing. I mean, he may or may not show you anything, but I just know for certain, because he lives on the inside of every one of you, he will show you something. He will bring something to your mind. And you'll be like, oh, I can pray about that. And don't think about being wordy. You know, the Pharisees always got in trouble. Jesus rebuked them all the time for being so wordy in their prayers. When the one guy who came in and just said, Lord, be merciful to me because I'm a sinner and I am nothing. I need you. Those prayers mean more to Jesus than the wordy ones where you're just so full of words. He's like, what exactly were you asking me for again? I'm sorry, I think I heard at the beginning, but at the end, now it's all confusing to me. So anyway, I just want to just take a few minutes. Let's see, it's 8:15. Let's just take some time right now. And so what I want you to do is just, let's just be quiet in the presence of God. And then I'm just going to ask that the Lord's going to show you who he wants you to pray with tonight. And if he doesn't tell you anybody, then just don't go anywhere. You know what I'm saying? I mean, don't worry about it. But if somebody comes to your mind that's in this church, you should go to them and get in agreement with them. Grab their hands and get in agreement with them. But if he doesn't, then maybe he wants to show you something. And there's no formula. You know what I'm saying? There's no formula to it. It's just he wants intimacy with you. He wants to talk to you. And he wants you talking to him. Amen? Okay, do you want to just put on some music? Can you put on some music, Joe? Just some worship music, please. And maybe turn off those lights back there. Father, we just come before you right now. We're so grateful for your presence in our lives. We're so grateful that you want to have a relationship with us and that you want intimacy with us and that you haven't made it difficult at all. Just magnify you, Lord. You're so awesome. You're so amazing. We thank you so much for what you did. We thank you for pouring out your blood for us that we can just spend eternity with you. We thank you that your body was broken for us, that we can be healed and whole and set free. We thank you for that crown of thorns that you took, Lord, that our minds can be made whole, that we can renew our minds according to your word. And I just praise you and thank you that tonight you're speaking to hearts, that we're hearing your voice, God, that we want to be obedient to do what you're calling us to do. We want to be obedient to walk in your plan and your purpose for our lives. We thank you, Lord, that we're going to walk out of here with ease and lightness because you've taken all of that from us, Lord, in Jesus' name.